Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Usually I hear these words when I'm standing in front of two people very much in love. The three of us standing in front of their friends and their family. This portion of 1 Corinthians is perhaps the most used text at weddings. Understandably so, since it's pretty much all about love. The Apostle Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. It sounds like the perfect wedding text, describing what the love between the couple looks like, how they will care for each other as they begin to live into this new relationship because they are in love. They will be patient and kind with one another, nor will they be irritable or boastful or arrogant. Except those of us who are or have been, or maybe even if you haven't been married, know that that will not always be the case. Which is why I think this text is far more appropriate for the first fight or after the first fight than it is for the wedding. In fact, reading this text during or after a fight is more appropriate anyway, based on who the original audience was. When Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth, tensions were high because the church body was not homogeneous. The church was filled with people of varying status and life circumstances. There were married and unmarried folks. There were widows as well as children. There are successful businessmen and women, and those who are just struggling to get by. It seems that most of the members were converted Gentiles, but there were also some Jewish folks among them. There were slaves in the church, but also those who were free. And while the diversity of the church offered all sorts of resources, gifts, and talents, the kind that is referred to by Paul in the previous chapter of 1 Corinthians when he describes the church as a body with many members, it also presented unique challenges to living together harmoniously. It's much easier to live together when you're similar to one another, when you see the world from the same viewpoint, which wasn't true of the Corinthians, which is why Paul writes to them about love. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love," he says, "I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." These words sound different now, don't they? Instead of a fuzzy feeling, love is the secret ingredient that makes this whole endeavor work, especially when we are different from one another. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way, but rather seeks to find a way that works for all. Paul wanted to impress upon the Corinthians the need for love within their life together. It's also a need that we have for our life together. Perhaps especially now when we all need each other to get through this pandemic. And as we all struggle to figure out what the right thing to do is, whether it's to stay home and slow the transmission of the virus, or to open up businesses that have been long shut and return to more physical interaction, or to find some middle ground between the two. It has become increasingly clear that we do not see things from the same viewpoint. that for all of our diversity and the blessings that that brings, we're also seemingly unable to find ways of communicating across ideological and sociological lines. Much like the church in Corinth all those years ago. Yet, it does happen, that communication across lines. Something that I was reminded of while listening to a podcast this past week, that love can potentially bridge those gaps. This week, I listened to the first episode of The Confessional from Nadia Bolz-Weber. It's a new podcast that is plugged with these words. She says, forget the selfies and social media updates of everyone at their best. 3-time New York Times bestselling author Nadia Bolz-Weber's new podcast, The Confessional, invites guests to share stories about times they were at their worst. Guests talk honestly about what led to that moment, what they learned from it, and how they changed as a result. A former stand-up comic and a recovering alcoholic, Bolz-Weber is a Lutheran pastor and the founder of House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, Colorado. Everyone needs grace and healing, no matter your beliefs. Step into The Confessional with Nadia Bolz-Weber, a car wash for people's shame and secrets. In the first episode, her guest was Megan Phelps Roper, a former member of the Westboro Baptist Church, which I have to say is not really affiliated with, I think, any Baptist tradition. So no offense if you're a past Baptist. I listened as Phelps Roper detailed the ways that she had grown up, listening to her family's desire for the world to repent from their evil ways, and then also protesting at the funerals of LGBTQ people. Eventually, Westboro Baptist started protesting at more than just the funerals of LGBTQ, of the LGBTQ community, expanding their reach to include the funerals of soldiers and the victims of school shootings, including those of Sandy Hook Elementary. Almost everything tragic became a sign of God's unhappiness with the world and our actions to the members of Westboro Baptist, and they wanted us to know about it. So Phelps Roper said of her time shortly before leaving the church, we would see something terrible that happened, like if there was an earthquake or a fire or floods or hurricanes or a celebrity died, everybody around me, my family, the church members, we'd be celebrating and making plans to go and protest the funerals. And you know, at the same time on Twitter, I'm seeing people mournful and grieving. Beyond the grief that she witnessed on Twitter, the thing that really began to move her was the empathy that some on Twitter expressed toward her in response to her message of hate. Some would respond with things like, everyone hates you, that must be so hard. It was that interest in her experience as a human being that began to make her see the humanity in others as well. She was on Twitter to spread the Westboro message, but instead it was the message of love that got through to her. It was that empathy, that love expressed in conversations on Twitter that began to shift what she believed, both about the world around her as well as herself. That is what Paul calls the people of Corinth to. To see the humanity in the other person, to love them as much as they love themselves. And it is what we are called to now as well. The way of love. That is to care for the other in ways that meets people where they are and works for what is best for them and others. To be patient and kind while recognizing that sometimes the most kind thing we can do is to create good boundaries. To find ways to empathize with those who are not like us. To hear their stories and to find ways to work together for what is just, right, and good. To love one another because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, even when everything else does, because God is love. love. And every experience of love is an experience of God. Love is patient. Love is kind. God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. God does not insist on God's own way, but does repeatedly invite us to it time and time again. God does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never ends. Love never ends.